what that sound means. Oh, yeah. NCAA Tournament Final Four, Special Kansas pregame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. The wonderful and talented Jed Marshall running the show today. As we are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios, our show brought to you by Bud Light. To the friends you can always count on, Bud Light, famous among friends, and the McGinnis Group, serving affluent life insurance needs in the Midwest. Got a good show for you today. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, Ed Fritz, head basketball coach at Blue Valley Northwest, who coached Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson in high school to a couple of state championships, almost 100 wins. They only lost 6 games in 4 years while they were there, and he's not quite as popular as Sister Jean, but he's getting some TV time. Ed Fritz is getting TV time during the NCAA tournament. So he's going to join us in about 20 minutes. He's down in San Antonio to watch his kids play. And then later on, Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal-World and KUSports.com will join us and break down the Jayhawks. He's been with the team throughout their entire tournament run and throughout the entire season, frankly. So he'll join us a little bit later in the show. This is one of those days where, you know, you wake up, you're excited, it's the Final Four, and KU's in it, and so is Loyola with Kansas City kids, and a lot of Michigan fans, like Jed Marshall's Michigan fan, and you got Villanova, who, you know, I think there was a lot of discussion this week. Villanova needs a championship to become a blue blood, and that may be true, that they need one more to be a blue blood, but if you grew up in the area that I grew up in the era that I grew up in, with, you know, Raleigh Massimino leading that team, knocking off Patrick Ewing in Georgetown, I think the name value is already there. Okay, they don't have the titles. They need another one. Okay, I get that. But the name value is there. Villanova's there. So is Kansas. Let me set the schedule for you beyond our show today. At 2:30, the Westwood One Final Four pregame show comes on. And that's been terrific throughout the entire tournament. If you haven't heard it, they check in at all the site locations. And Clark Kellogg is a part of that show. And I know Clark was on with Danny Klingscale and Frank Bowl this week from Radio Row. And I just think Clark Kellogg is fantastic. He knows the game inside and out. He knows the current game. He's not just a guy who sits in the studio and lives off his resume. Very well studied and astute on the game. So at 2:30, the Westwood One Final Four pregame show. At 5:09, the 11th seed, Loyola Chicago, against number 3, Michigan. That's at 5:09, which will also be on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. At 6:15 PM, the KU-IMG Sports Network pregame show takes over. And then if you want to listen to the end of Loyola Chicago and Michigan, you can find that on ESPN Kansas City, or you can stay on 810 for the KU pregame show. And then it's 7:49, a pair of one seeds, Villanova and Kansas. And I was reading through the KU pregame notes, and if you go to the KU Sports website, the KU Athletics website, they have the game notes posted there. You just go through the schedule, click on pregame notes. There's some stunning numbers. And look, we all know the numbers, but when you read them every time, it's stunning. This is Kansas' 15th trip to the Final Four. 15 Final Fours. Third Final Four under Bill Self. And Bill Self was kind of getting to that, you know, it's been 10 years since KU's won a championship. It's been since 2012 since we've gone to a Final Four. It's been a while. Yeah, it has been a while for a program like Kansas. And I agree with Soren Petro. You got to keep making it. You got to get to the Elite Eights first. That's the most important thing. Because obviously you're not getting to the Final Four if you're not going to Elite Eights. So Kansas kind of needed this. Bill Self needed this to get to a Final Four. As I said, the last trip was 2012. If you're afraid of Villanova, if you're worried about Villanova, which you should be worried about Villanova. This season, Kansas is 4-0 against top 10 teams. 4-0 against top 10 teams. 8-3 against ranked opponents. 31 wins for the third straight season for Kansas. Remarkable. And obviously, you got to get deep into tournaments to get to 31 wins. So getting to the Elite Eight 3 years in a row, getting back to another Final Four for the first time since 2012, it's a lot of wins. 31 or more in each of the last three seasons. Pretty good stretch. Of course, you're talking about Villanova. Rematch of the 2016 South Regional Championship game, which Villanova won on the way to Jay Wright's first national championship. Jay Wright's now at that level. His name is thrown into the mix with Bill Self, with Mike Krzyzewski, with Roy Williams, with Tom Izzo. Maybe he's a level away. Maybe he's not quite there yet. But he's in the discussion. And if any of those programs, when Krzyzewski retires, when Roy Williams hangs it up, when and if Bill Self decides to do something different, Jay Wright's at the top of your list, right? Jay Wright's at absolutely, he's at the top of my list. If I'm, yeah, I'm sure any smart athletic director in America has that list in his desk. Top of it's Jay Wright. He's helped refashion the game, the four-out, one-in style of offense. When the game has evolved, more three-point shooting, and there are fewer big men, they go to the NBA pretty quick. If you're a talented big man, you go to the NBA pretty quick. If you're a pretty good shooter, too. But the four-out, one-in, Jay Wright didn't invent it, but he's, and I don't know if he's perfected it yet, but he's made it as an effective as an offense as you can have in college basketball. How about this number? Against the NCAA tournament field, teams that made the tournament this season, Kansas 21-3. 21-3. Jesse Newell, who was on our show last week from the Kansas City Star, does his quick scout, and he's got it out now. Go to Jesse Newell's Twitter account, at Jesse Newell. Just like it sounds. Got his quick scout. He nailed the KU Duke score last week. 85-81. Nailed it! Some folks wanted to give him some guff because he didn't say overtime. Because I was texting, I texted Danny Klinkscale after the game and I said, hey, 85-81, kind of nailed it. So, well, he didn't say overtime.
Yeah, shocking. Danny would be super sour. That's a stunner.
I remember Danny years ago referred to himself, I believe he said this, and if I'm wrong, Danny, you can kick me in the rear end, but I believe Danny referred to himself as the happy cynic, because he's generally a pretty good, fun-loving guy, but he can be cynical.
I don't even know if Danny is really all that fun-loving a guy. He's so
he enjoys sour. His life.
Sure, Danny, yes. I think Danny, I don't think he's an unhappy person. I think he's sour.
He can be cynical. So he said Jesse didn't say overtime. And I think Jake Gutierrez also said, well, he didn't say overtime. I give the guy credit, 85-81, nailed it. That's nails in my book.
I went 83-79, no love for that.
That's pretty close, yeah.
I also didn't say overtime, so.
Well, who predicts overtime? Nobody predicts overtime. So Jesse's prediction for today in the Quick Scout, which is good stuff to read because Jesse Newell dives into the numbers that you can find on KenPom and some other statistical and analytical websites, and he'll dive into the numbers and not only give you the season-long trends, but the more recent trends, which are more important based on players who are playing better, based on injuries, things like that. So Jesse Newell's prediction for today's game. You're not going to like this, Kansas fans. You're not going to like it at all. Villanova 84, Kansas 75. It's a pretty wide margin. I believe yesterday on the when I was on with Cody Tapp last night from 8 to 10, I predicted Kansas, I think 83-81. I have to go back and double check. So I thought it'd be a close game, at least within the margin of the spread. Because Kansas is +5 right now, which I cannot believe that line. Look, I know nothing about gambling. If you're thinking about placing a late bet, do not listen to me to make a financial decision. But 5 points to me seem like a lot in a Final Four game between two number one seeds. But Jesse's going 84-75 Villanova. That's a wider margin than the spread. And look, these things happen in the Final Four. You get a game that's a little bit out of hand early, or you get to that final 4 to 5 minutes and a team just lights up like back-to-back possessions with a turnover, and they turn a 6-point game into a 9-point game on a couple of, maybe a 12-point game on a couple of big threes. That 9-point margin can happen. Absolutely it can happen. I just have to believe with the way these two teams are playing that it's going to be closer than that. For Kansas fans who are interested, I was reading the ESPN story this morning, everything you need to know about the Final Four tonight, right? They've been doing this throughout the tournament. Everything you need to know about today's games, everything you need to know about the Elite Eight, everything you need to know about the Final Four. It's a lot of information. But there's some good stuff for Kansas fans in here. How about this? Malik Newman is Steph Curry right now. No? Jed shaking his head no? Malik Newman is Steph Curry right now. Well, here is the game by game. And, of course, my screen moved to a different player right when I went to look up Malik Newman.
Well, while you look for that,
here it is. I got it. Okay. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Oh, I just was going to say, one of the things that I found most interesting in looking at this game is that Villanova and Kansas, if you look at the statistics from the season just as a whole, they're essentially the same basketball team.
They're remarkably similar.
Villanova scores at a slightly higher clip. I think they're averaging 5 more points a game, but essentially across the board, same team.
Right. The last 7 games for Malik Newman. Where's the point totals here? Here we go. Against Oklahoma State, 30 points. Back-to-back games because they finished the regular season against Oklahoma State, 30 points. Against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament, 22 points. Against K-State in the Big 12 tournament, 20 points. Against West Virginia, just 10 points. So he was off a little bit there. In the NCAA tournament, the 10 points was against Penn. Against Seton Hall, 28 points. Against Clemson, 17 points. And against Duke, 32 points. His field goal percentage has gone up for the overall season percentage. His field goal percentage over those last 7 games has gone up 10%. His three-point shooting has gone up 20%. And I've said this, for a couple of weeks now. KU's fortunes are riding on Malik Newman. Because Devontae Graham, who still plays stellar defense, who is still one of the best distributors of the basketball in the game, first-team All-American, Big 12 Player of the Year, still plays with that. But his shooting has been less than optimal. Suboptimal, is that the term the kids use? Suboptimal. And it's Malik Newman right now. This team is riding on the shoulders of Malik Newman. So ESPN's pregame story says Malik Newman is Steph Curry right now. He's averaged 22.7 and shooting 54.2% on his three-point attempts in the past 7 games, all for this KU run. Now, here's another positive for you KU fans out there. And I got a text message before the show from some friends of mine who are driving out to, Belton to watch the game, saying, give me some good stuff about Kansas. Well, here's another one for you. According to ESPN, point number 9, Udoka Azubuike is the most important player in San Antonio. Udoka Azubuike, the most important player in San Antonio. And here's what they say. This is how they qualify that. Kansas big man is also the most efficient player, the engine of this Big 12 champion. When he's on the floor, when Udoka Azubuike is on the floor, the Jayhawks have made 54% of their shots inside the arc during the NCAA tournament. And that's according to HoopLens.com. Here's the problem that ESPN points out. He is fouled out of their past 2 games and committed 4 fouls in each of KU's most recent 4 losses. He also shoots just 41% from the charity stripe. We all know that. No government secret there. Self's most important player comes with significant risks. The coach must navigate on the biggest stage. throw into this. Talked about it last night with Cody Tapp as well and with Jesse Newell from the Star. How much of an emotional factor will it be that Udoka Azubuike is seeing his mom for the first time in 6 years? And by the way, kudos to all the officials from the state of Kansas, members of the United States Congress, members of the U.S. Senate, people in the State Department who were able to expedite getting Udoka Azubuike's mom here from Nigeria. Not an easy thing to do. Not at all. But I'm wondering how this affects Udoka Azubuike. And I'm not qualified to answer those sorts of questions. I don't know what it's like to not see your mom in 6 years and then all of a sudden you see her again. I got to think it's huge, though. I got to think it's such an uplifting moment for Udoka Azubuike and his teammates. Because these parents that come to the games, we know Svi Mykhailiuk's parents have been able to come over here for some of the recent games, but they can't come over here all the time from the Ukraine. They just can't. But the parents, when they're at the games, they hang out together. They get to know each other. They cheer for their sons and their coaches, the managers and the trainers and everybody. They become their own family, a basketball family, if you will. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like for all those KU parents to be able to meet and greet and welcome Udoka Azubuike's mom. That's got to be huge. And for Udoka to walk out onto a court in front of 70,000 people in San Antonio and to have his mom there who's never seen him play basketball, I think it's huge. I think it's a boost. I know there'll be some debate. Will he be distracted? And I even thought about it yesterday when I was talking with Cody Tapp. I thought about it yesterday. Could it be a distraction? I think it's a good thing. I think this is great. I think it's an emotional lift. It may have nothing to do with the game at all. Maybe he plays his regular game. He goes 7-for-9 from the floor and pulls down 11 rebounds and has 4 fouls or fouls out like he usually does. Maybe it's the same. But I think he's going to feel a lot better about it. Just do. That's my gut feeling about it. That's my gut reaction to it. Now, when you want to get into the matchups and everything, which we are going to do throughout the show today as we roll along on the KU pregame special here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Villanova's no joke. We know that. They're a one seed for a reason. Jalen Brunson is the National Player of the Year. It's interesting when you look at those National Player of the Year awards because there's multiple awards. So Devontae Graham is the Big 12 Player of the Year. Trae Young won National Player of the Year for one of the media groups or outlets. Jalen Brunson won it in another. Two different National Players of the Year. Jalen Brunson doesn't play the minutes that Devontae Graham does. Jalen Brunson averages about 32 minutes a game. I'll bet he plays all 40, plus overtime. It's a Final Four. It's a Final Four. Average 32 minutes, you're playing 40. Averages just over 19 points a game, almost 4.5 assists. Turnovers, just 1.8. It's pretty solid with the basketball. Where KU can take advantage, and I was reading Jesse Newell's Quick Scout, not the best defensively. If he's isolated on defense, if KU can find a way to isolate Jalen Brunson when Villanova's on defense, might be able to get a steal a possession and steal a bucket. Michael Bridges, outstanding. 32 minutes a game. Almost 18 points. 5.5 rebounds. A couple of assists. And Omari Spellman, maybe the most interesting matchup for KU in this game. And we'll break that down a little bit later as well. We've got to save some stuff. Can't get it all out in the opening 20 minutes. So we're going to save a little bit here. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Ed Fritz, the head basketball coach at Blue Valley Northwest High School, Coach Clayton Custer, and Ben Richardson, who are in the Final Four with Loyola of Chicago. They play Michigan in the first game tonight of the Final Four. So Ed Fritz is going to join us, talk about what those two kids are experiencing and what he's experiencing. To be a high school coach who's got two kids on the same team in the Final Four, I can't imagine what that feels like. This is the KU basketball pregame special as we broadcast live from the Rally House Studios, brought to you by Bud Light, the friends you can always count on. Bud Light, famous among friends, and the McGinnis Group, serving affluent life insurance needs in the Midwest. Back after this, my name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
March Madness.
Okay, that's the U2 song that the NCAA tournament's been using, and look, I really like U2. I went to the show last year at Arrowhead Stadium. Thought it was fantastic. Great show. There are very few bands that can put on a show that big and be that good and do it for 2.5 hours, 2 hours. They played the entire Joshua Tree from start to finish, plus a lot of their other songs. But that song is... I didn't like it when I heard it first. I think it was during the selection show, maybe, is where it first got broad airplay on CBS or TNT or TBS or whatever.
True TV.
True TV. But it's run its course. And they look, every sport does this. They pick this theme song or this big name artist. Let's pick one of their songs and we'll shoot them on the beach or in a cityscape in New York City or something. This'll be great. And then after 4 weeks, it's like, enough. Stop it.
The worst was last year during the tournament, the Geico commercial with the "I'm going out to the country" or whatever that song.
Yes.
It was funny for like a day, but by the end of the tournament,
it wears
I was
out
so
quickly.
Tired of
wears.
That.
Guys, just for people that look, I'm not an expert. I don't run an ad agency, but come up with like 3 or 4 different things to throw into the mix instead of the one, because it gets I get to a resentful stage after it. Like, I don't want to be involved with your product because I hate your commercial. I don't want to.
Don't live in resentment, Brad.
I know. It's the Easter weekend, for crying out loud. Well, one guy who doesn't live in resentment and who's always a positive force for basketball in Kansas City is Ed Fritz, the head boys basketball coach at Blue Valley Northwest High School. Coach Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson, who are into the Final Four with Loyola Chicago. Ed is at the Final Four in San Antonio. Ed, it sounds like you're at a party or some kind of pregame celebration going on.
Yeah, we're down at the Riverwalk and just getting something to eat, and every once in a while, a bunch of Loyola people walk by and yell at me. So it's a lot of fun.
You know what? I know Sister Jean is on TV 24/7 right now, but you're getting a lot of TV time right now, which is good for you and your program and your school at Blue Valley Northwest.
Hey, it is great for Blue Valley Northwest. I'm really happy, and I'm really thankful for Sister Jean, because I don't know if she wasn't around, what would happen. So she is a great, and this is just a great story, and I'm happy to be having a little part in living it out with these guys.
Well, Coach Fritz, you know, you always dream of, when you're a high school basketball coach, you have dreams of winning state championships and winning a lot of games, and you want your kids to graduate with high GPAs and live productive lives and have great families and children and all that kind of stuff. But this is a first for you, this Final Four experience. What has it been like to have two of your kids make it to the Final Four, the biggest stage in the college basketball landscape?
You know, it's just really wild. You know, last night we go down to see the guys down at the hotel at the Westin, and they have, bigger than life-size photos of these guys on the walls, and all these people that are, Loyola fans have come out of the woodwork to share in this, and I know that these guys had a lot of dreams when they were kids, but I can't imagine it being any bigger than this.
Well, we know Coach Bill Self was asked earlier this week about your kids, and in particular about Clayton Custer, because Clint and Bay, Ben both went to KU basketball camps as kids. And Bill Self said, yeah, Clayton could have played at KU. We just had a lot of guards at the time, and indicating he probably couldn't get the minutes. But I think that says something, that a player with that kind of talent who maybe can't get his dream school can still go to another school and live the same kind of dream and make a Final Four.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, Clayton made a great decision following Ben and head to Loyola when he's going to transfer. And, you know, Coach Self has been nothing but great to our guys and our team. And, you know, we went to their team camp and did very well at their team camp a couple of times. But he watched us play a lot. And, you know, he's a big fan of Clay and a big fan of Ben. And, you know, I think Clay would eventually been able to be a great player at KU, just like he is at Loyola. But, you know, sometimes it's just a numbers game. And Frank Mason and Devontae, those are pretty good players right there that also play the same position as Clay.
There's some All-Americans and a National Player of the Year right there in that group. We're talking with Ed Fritz, the head basketball coach at Blue Valley Northwest, Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson, Huskies grads playing for Loyola Chicago tonight against Michigan. Coach, I know you were at the Elite Eight games as well. As I mentioned, you were all over TV. What did you think? We know Clayton's a sharp shooter, but what did you think when Ben just started scorching the Nets and finished going 6 of 7 from downtown, career-high 23 points, and was the region's player of the year? What did you think early on in that game when it started falling for him big time?
You know, it just seemed like that first shot, he kind of felt it. And I've been lucky enough to be around him a few times when he's done that. The thing with Ben is he's so valuable to this team on defense. He's always guarding the best player on the other team. He makes so many plays. He's kind of the leader on the defensive end, and of course he's a defensive player of the year in the conference. But then to see him also do it on offense, that's just like double trouble. And you know, I was just so proud watching him shoot and how much confidence he had in himself and in the team. And you know, he played his best game at the right time. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely, he did. One of the things I really enjoy about watching Clayton and Ben and the Loyola team all around, and you can break this down from a coaching perspective, but this is what stood out to me in that game against K-State. The Loyola Chicago kids, when they're on offense, they're looking to pass at least 6 times, if not more. They'll pass up a half-open look in favor of a more wide-open look over and over and over again, and they're willing to go 25 to 28 seconds into the shot clock without panicking for a second. As you watched them in that game against K-State, did you notice those similar things? Has this been the way they've played all season long?
Yeah, you know, being so lucky to have been their coach for so long, you know, the thing that I really tried to instill was, you know, it's not about scoring. It's about being able to make plays for other people. And at Northwest, you know, in those 4 years that those guys played, we were 94-6. I mean, I had a very easy job. And all we had to do was, you know, to see the chemistry and teamwork we had. And it's just so similar at Loyola, the way those guys love playing with each other. Just you can just see it on their faces, their body language, and just see how, hey, I may have a good shot, but hey, I think I can get this guy a better one. And, you know, it sure has paid off. And that last game against K-State, where they were able to move the ball and get great shots when the shot clock was winding down.
And we're talking with Ed Fritz, the head boys basketball coach at Blue Valley Northwest High School. He's got Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson playing for Loyola Chicago tonight in the Final Four against Michigan. All right, Coach, give me a coaching breakdown here. Michigan is here for a reason. A very talented basketball team, one of the top defensive teams in the country, and they have a little more size, but as Sister Gina said, you know, I think before that Tennessee game, guys, don't worry about their size. It doesn't matter all that much. So give me kind of a coaching breakdown of what Loyola Chicago and your kids need to do to advance to the championship and knock off the Michigan Wolverines.
Hey, Michigan, really good team. You know, their spacing is very similar to Loyola. I think the one thing that I think might help Loyola tonight is they switch all picks and all cuts, and they do a really good job of keeping those assignments really tight and intact, and hopefully that will help help them. But, you know, Michigan's got a big size advantage, and, you know, they're an awful good team. You know, Loyola's beaten Goliath already, so I think they can do it again.
Hey, Coach, I know this has been a blast. I know coaching those kids from third grade all the way through high school was awesome, and this is another great experience. And no matter what happens, you guys will be able to talk about this for the rest of your lives. Whenever anybody sees Clayton, Custer, Ben Richardson, they can say, those guys played in the Final Four. They're going to have a ring. Every time they're introduced at a speaking engagement, they'll be able to be introduced as a member of the Final Four team from Loyola Chicago. And I hope you and your wife, Ann Fritz, who coaches the girls at Blue Valley North, and I hope all your family, and I hope your son, all your kids are there too. I hope you enjoy this experience for every minute, and just this will be something you guys will never forget for the rest of your lives.
Hey, that's really nice of you. And I'm really happy. There's probably 8 or 9 kids on the team that played with Clay and Ben that are here, including my son. And so we've kind of been we got together this morning for a little while and just got to talk and visit. So we're all pulling for them, and they're always going to be a part of my life. So it's great to be connected with these guys.
I do have one final question. I was going to let you go, but I do have one final question. There was a Twitter photo after the Elite Eight game last week that showed the Loyola players sleeping in the hotel lobby because somebody forgot to get hotel rooms for that night. Is that true? Did they sleep in the lobby?
I do not know that. but that could be true. But, hey, this coaching staff at Loyola is top-notch. Their attention to detail and their scouting reports, I mean, I've gotten to know them a little bit, and I've just been so impressed with Coach Mosley and the rest of the guys on the staff. And they'll have them ready to play today.
All right, tonight, Coach, have fun. I know you'll get some TV time, you and Sister Jean both. And best of luck to you and all those Blue Valley Northwest grads that are there to watch it with you and for Clayton and Ben to do well on the floor.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys.
All right, thank you very much. That is Ed Fritz, the head boys basketball coach at Blue Valley Northwest High School, coached Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson, 94-6 over their 4 years in high school. State championships, now 2 kids in the Final Four. It doesn't matter where you go to high school. You never think, we got kids on our team that are going to play in the Final Four. I mean, unless you go to an elite school or you have an elite player. We've had plenty of kids from Kansas City who have played in the NCAA tournament, a few that have gotten to the Final Four. But you don't think about it.
I'm a little salty about it, being a Blue Valley North grad.
Well, Ed Fritz's wife coaches at
Blue Valley
North. Yeah,
she does. She did a great job.
You know, I went to Rockhurst at a time when, before I got there, John Super Cooper, was the Missouri Basketball Player of the Year, went to Wichita State, terrific player. He's now a college basketball coach. And Chris Heller was a Mr. Basketball at Missouri. He went to Mizzou.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a Mizzou guy.
He came on his senior year at Mizzou. He had a pretty good career, but his final year at the Big Eight tournament, he went crazy. Finished great.
Was that like early 90s?
That would have been, yes, early 90s.
Okay, yeah.
He would have graduated in like 88.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Just being a little tyke.
Yeah. We saw, Anthony Peeler at Mizzou. I mean, on Earl Watson go to UCLA from Wyandotte High, or Washington High School, pardon me. And we've seen tons of guys go to the NCAA tournament. But you don't get to see that many guys go to the Final Four. You just don't. And like I said, from now on, for the rest of their lives, they're going to speak at Rotary Clubs and Lions Clubs and PTA meetings and corporate groups and maybe at the Sports Commission luncheons and awards ceremonies.
Call Dave Borchard.
Dave Borchard.
Get him on the horn.
Get him on the phone. Whenever they're introduced from now on, they will be introduced as Clayton Custer, Ben Richardson, member of the Final Four team from Loyola Chicago.
And it's so cool for those kids, like you said, regardless of where you went, it's awesome to have Kansas City represent. We're all Kansas Cityans. If you're listening in Kansas City,
right.
I know people listening on the app. My buddy lives out in North Carolina, loves that. But it's just so cool. It's also funny to hear like the slight that Coach Self took at what a Final Four means, like with the Greg Gurley comment being like,
right.
Well,
even Greg Gurley,
yeah, even Gurley made it to a Final Four.
And I didn't mention Greg Gurley, Shawnee Mission South, for crying out
Jeff
loud.
Jeff Hawkins and
Summer Academy,
Travis Relliford,
and Robbie Gray, or not Robbie, that's his brother, Jeff Graves.
No, yeah, Jeff Graves
from Lee Summit High School. Robbie went to UMKC.
Gravy Train.
Jeff, yeah, the Gravy Train, Lee Summit High School. So we have guys who get there, but you would never say that. You would never predict, not never say. You would never predict that 2 Kansas City kids would go to Loyola Chicago and make a Final Four. You just wouldn't. But now they're here. So here's I heard this discussion this morning on ESPN. Seth Greenberg was on this morning. And former coach, I think he coached 19, 20 years, whatever it was. The question for him was, what speech would you give if you're Porter Mosier? You got to give that pregame speech. Got to get him up. Got to get him ready to play Michigan. And he gave kind of his ideas about it. But I got to thinking about it, and I don't think you have to do any kind of a Hoosiers thing, like the basket's still 10 feet off the ground and the free throw line's 15. I don't think you go there with Loyola Chicago. I think you walk in there with the biggest smile on your face that you've ever put on. And you say, guys, we're in the Final Four. This is something we'll remember for the rest of our lives. I don't think I say anything about Michigan. I don't say one word about Michigan. You've done the scouting reports, right? Jed Marshall's a Michigan fan. He's giving me a dirty look now.
No, I'm just saying you may want to mention Mo Wagner.
Maybe
stop that big guy who shoots threes and can handle
it. I'm talking about the pregame speech, the rah-rah speech. You've gone through the scouting reports. You've gone through the practices. You've put the work in. I think if you're Porter Mosier, now things are different if you're Kansas, Villanova, Michigan. You're a big school. You have some serious things that you maybe need to hit one last time because your program is either a blue blood or on the verge of being a blue blood. If you're Porter Mosier at Loyola Chicago, I think you walk in with the biggest smile, biggest grin, and you look at those guys and say, guys, we're having the time of our lives right now. Everyone will remember this moment for the rest of your lives. You're in the Final Four. You're an 11 seed. You're from the Mo Valley. You're in San Antonio. You're going to play in front of 70,000 people. How many millions are going to be watching on TV around the world? A couple hundred million? Don't know how they measure all the platforms, but this is it. This is the moment of your life. Win or lose, you've made history. Proud of you guys. Let's go out there and play the best we can play. Let's give Michigan everything we've got. Leave it all on the floor. Remember when Kentucky was at one of their players before the K-State game? Said, we hope all their guys play so they don't have any excuses. Kentucky didn't have any excuses. Loyola Chicago needs to go out and think, okay, no excuse. We give it everything we've got. If our shooters who were insane against K-State, if our three-point shooting goes 8 for 27, we gave it our best shot. If they go 15 for 27, we gave it a damn good shot. And we're going to be in it at the end. I think it's all positive. I think the message is all positive for Loyola Chicago.
Well, it's like I've said all along. I mean, they've been playing with house money since they got out of the first round. And people, I think, it's been such a cool story. People are kind of glossing over the fact that three of their wins were by 4 points.
Right.
A total of
4 points. The
first
three wins in the tournament were by a total of 4 points.
So let's maybe pump the brakes on how great we really think this basketball team
Just
is.
Go play the best you can play. We'll take it.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Now, if you're Kansas, as we switch back to Kansas, Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal World, KUSports.com, is going to join us here in just a few minutes to talk Villanova and Kansas. If you're Kansas, you know, Bill Self and his staff, Townsie and Jarence and all those guys, I always call them by their nicknames because that's what Bill Self calls them, so I kind of fall into that trap, whatever Bill Self calls them in the press conference, that's what I call them. But they're one of the best staffs in the country at preparing a team. They've had all week to get ready. Probably not a lot to go over. There's a few reminders. I'm sure they'll have some assistance. Coach who works with the big man, Doak, Mitch, remember these couple of things. Coach of the guards, go over a couple of things. Get those bench guys ready because you know there's the way referees have called this tournament. It's going to be foul trouble somewhere. Just a couple of reminders, but then I think it's going to be a lot more serious than what a Loyola Chicago pregame speech would be like. Guys, this is Villanova. They beat us 2 years ago, 2016. They won a national championship 2 years ago. We haven't won one in 10 years. Got to think about that. I had to really think about it. It's 10 years. 10 years, man.
I mean, they only have three in the school's history.
I know, but, you know, it's kind of that. You get, I guess, for KU fans, and I didn't go to KU. I took one broadcasting class over there. But
Homer.
Get that, yeah. I'm a total homer. I'm a sellout.
Yeah, through those three credit hours.
I'm a sellout. Tom Hedrick, the parrot, taught me broadcasting over at KU, along with half the broadcasters in America. Either took broadcasting at KU or Syracuse, and some Northwestern and Mizzou. Mizzou has a lot of great broadcasters.
Indiana has a good journalism school.
Right.
Let's just run down all the schools in America,
yeah,
Brad.
Yeah, let's
Where
go.
Do we rank them?
Everybody has a broadcasting department. So I did, yes, I did take the one class. But if I think you're KU, this is a serious game with serious implications. If you're the players, you make a little bit of history when you make a Final Four. You get banners hung, you get your jersey hung in the rafters, making a Final Four. Get to a national championship, different level. Different kind of thing. Plus, you hold Villanova back a little bit. Because Jay Wright and Villanova are recruiting hard. And you knock off a Villanova, get to the championship game, you keep them back just a little bit. Keep them back just a little bit. So implications for certainly much bigger for Kansas. All right, we will take a quick timeout here. This is our KU basketball Final Four pregame show. I'm Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. We're brought to you by Bud Light, the friends you can always count on. Bud Light, famous among friends, and the McGinnis Group, serving affluent life insurance needs in the Midwest. Jed Marshall is our producer. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Got that Final Four feeling. Yes, we do. This is the Final Four KU basketball pregame special. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and all across the Midwest and online and the app and TuneIn Radio. Whatever you can get. However you get the radio station. You get Final Four all day long. It's basketball all day. Todd Lebo's been saying it since 9 o'clock this morning. Started with Danny Klinkscale from Radio Row in San Antonio and then had the best of Radio Row and... my name is Brad Porter, by the way. I'll be here till 2:30, and this is one of those hand the baton days. So Danny got it started at 9 o'clock this morning. Jed, you got here at what, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, I got here about 5:30.
5:30 this morning. So Jed's been here a while. Danny was on the air at 9 o'clock. I took over at 1 o'clock. I'll go to 2:30. At 2:30, we'll take you to Westwood One's Final Four pregame special. At 5:09, Loyola of Chicago versus Michigan. And all these games and all these shows will be simulcast on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. So the games start at 5 o'clock. Gosh, that still seems like a long way off. So 5 o'clock, 5:09 technically, Loyola, Chicago, and Michigan. Then at 6:15, the KU-IMG Sports Network pregame show. And if you want to catch the end of Loyola, Chicago, and Michigan, basically the second half, flip over again to ESPN Kansas City, or you can stay with the KU-IMG Sports Network pregame show. Then it's 7:49, Villanova and Kansas. Matchup of the one seeds, and then their postgame show. I think Lebo was right. This could go into Easter Sunday. I mean, it could go that late, right?
Well, I was texting with my buddies about what our plans are for the game, and I don't think there's any chance that the KU game tips at 7:49.
No,
I think it's going to
be
like
8 o'clock at the earliest.
8:15.
Yeah.
And with the pace of play that we've seen in the NCAA tournament, I think even the game has a chance of getting done at like 11:30.
Yeah. So if you wrap up at 11:30, the KU postgame show is going to go
one
hour and a half.
Yeah.
So you're going into Easter Sunday.
Have fun, Rudy and Josh.
And I'm working Easter Sunday. Jed, you're working Easter Sunday, right? We're working together Easter Sunday.
Yep.
9 to 12 tomorrow morning. We'll have all the recaps of the first two games of the Final Four and set you up for the championship game on Monday. This coverage, by the way, I've been doing stuff mostly on weekends here at Sports Radio 810 WHB for 8 months, 9 months now. It's been a little bit, and I'm impressed with the way Chad Boger and Todd Lebo and how they manage the schedules to get all of these NCAA tournament games on one platform or another at Union Broadcasting, either 810 WHB or ESPN Kansas City. I mean, it takes a lot of work to make all that happen, and then Sandy Cohen and all the guys in the sales department to get that all taken care of, because you gotta make sure you have your sponsors. So we're into the last few minutes of this hour, and then we've got Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal World coming up at 2 o'clock. So I was thinking about Kansas and Villanova, and we were talking about Udoka Azubuike earlier. And one of the discussions I heard, I can't remember if it was Clark Kellogg, it was one of the national guys this morning, was talking about playing defense against Villanova, particularly against their big man, Amari Spellman, Eric Paschall. I've heard his name 15 different ways. But one of the names that was brought up in terms of Kansas playing defense who might be better out in space is Mitch Lightfoot. We have not seen him in the last couple of games. He had 0 minutes in that Duke game. And could Mitch Lightfoot have an impact in this game, playing as a big man or playing out on the wing? Could he? Yes, he could. Will he? This is the way I look at Bill Self-coached teams. You earn the trust, you put in performances, and you get the minutes. And Mitch Lightfoot is an athletic player. He's not going to score 10 points. He's not going to get 10 rebounds. He's not going to play, what at most, 10, 12 minutes if he gets into the game tonight. I put the over-under at 4 yesterday. So, no, he's not going to have a major impact in the game. But if the matchups play out in such a way that the Kansas coaching staff and Bill Self think, we might need to get Mitch out there for a few more minutes on the defensive end. You make those switches on the fouls and the timeouts. Maybe Mitch Lightfoot plays a bigger role than what we think. Not predicting that. Like I said, I set the over-under on 4 and 5 minutes. No, 4 minutes. Most people will probably take the under on that based on the first few games. Because Bill Self's got his guys. He's in the Final Four with the guys who got him here. Those are the guys who are going to play. And as I've been saying going back to the Big 12 tournament, it's Malik Newman's game right now. Because Devontae Graham has gotten to the point where he's deferred to Malik Newman. When the shooting does not go his way, he's willing to defer to Malik Newman. And Malik Newman has earned it over what he's done going back to the Big 12 tournament and through the NCAA tournament. He's earned it. He's earned the deferment. LeGerald Vick is playing much better. There was a point this season, maybe at the beginning of conference play, where I seriously questioned whether LeGerald Vick was going to be a part of this team playing major minutes. I mean, yes, he was going to be part of the team, but when Bill Self put him on the bench, said, you're not getting it done, you're not giving us enough on the floor, I questioned whether LeGerald Vick could play a serious role for Bill Self and the Jayhawks. But LeGerald Vick has gotten better. Message received. He's doing it better. And I'm looking at LeGerald Vick over the last games, going back to the Big 12 tournament. The last regular season game against Oklahoma State. And the spreadsheet is awful small. 8 points. 11 more in the Big 12 tournament against Oklahoma State. 10 against K-State. 10 against West Virginia. 14 against Penn. 13 against Seton Hall. 13 against Clemson. 14 against Duke. Occasionally takes a few more three-pointers than he should. But from the floor, 3 of 9, 5 of 8, 4 for 8, 4 for 8, 5 of 7, 5 for 9, 4 of 11, 6 for 16. Those are much better numbers. And for some guys like LeGerald Vick, like Malik Newman, maybe it takes a bigger stage. Maybe it shouldn't. Maybe you should be motivated for every game you play, for every 40 minutes you play. Yes, you should be motivated. You're playing at one of the biggest college programs in America. You have a chance to play in the NBA or go to Europe and make a ton of money in Europe if you just play with a little motivation. And you play with conviction the way Malik Newman has been playing with conviction. But if it's taken the biggest stage, if it's taken the end of the season and a 14th straight conference championship on the line to get motivated, fine. If it's taken the Big 12 tournament to get motivated and get a one seed, fine. if it's taken the motivation of the NCAA tournament and getting to the Final Four to get motivated, to just start playing better, to be convicted in the way you play, fine. Those guys are doing it. And if they do it again, they'll be in the championship game. But make no mistake about it. This is going to be, you thought Big 12 was a heavyweight championship bout? You got another one. And you've only had 1 week to rest. You've had 1 week to prepare. There's the upside. You've had a week to prepare. And in the next segment, we're going to hear from Bill Self talking about how he's had to vocally motivate his players. We'll hear that in the next segment. But you got another heavyweight championship bout on your fans, on your hands. All right, we'll take a timeout. Matt Tate from the Lawrence Durham World will join us. This is the KU Basketball Pregame Final Four Special, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios, brought to you by Bud Light. To the friends you can always count on, Bud Light, famous among friends in the McGinnis Group, serving affluent life insurance needs in the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Gearing up for the Final Four here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Kansas Basketball Pregame Special. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. Rudy Salazar just walked in. He'll probably take you throughout the rest of the day today. Big schedule and the big lineup today. College basketball all day long. From the time the sun came up this morning until long after the sun goes down tonight. We're going to take you up to 2:30, and then we're going to hand it off to Westwood One's Final Four pregame show, which Westwood One, if you haven't heard their pregame show, it is really, really good. Clark Kellogg's on there quite a bit. They have a really good host, and they take you to all the different broadcast crews. But it's going to be it'll be a really good show at 2:30, and then at 5 o'clock, Loyola of Chicago against Michigan, and all these shows and games are also simulcast on our sister station ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. So 5 o'clock, Loyola Chicago Michigan, then at 6:15, the KU IMG Sports Network pregame show. So if you want to catch the second half of Loyola Chicago, catch that on ESPN Kansas City. And then it's 7:49, approximately, Villanova, Kansas, 1-1. So we continue to broadcast live from the Rally House Studios. We are brought to you by Bud Light. To the friends you can always count on, Bud Light, famous among friends and the McGinnis Group, serving affluent life insurance needs in the Midwest. All right, as we talk about Bill Self and the Jayhawks getting ready for this game, we talked about the motivational speeches, what you would say to the games. Bill Self was asked this week if he's been tougher on his kids, maybe a little more vocal with the KU Jayhawks.
Can't run them because you can't wear your guys out. Is I probably got after them more verbally than I probably have in a long time. And so it gave the appearance that, you know, that we are in need of this, and there's frustration, which there was frustration. I think it's that way with any coach. But there's not it's not as prevalent because you can take player six and put him in for player two, and player two can sit there until he figures it out. And we just haven't had that luxury. So our margin for error as far as our skill or our talent or foul problems is very small, but it's also very small from an effort standpoint too. So that has been frustrating, but I must say whatever personality flaws I think that we had early on, I think they've been corrected and the guys are totally bought in.
All right. Whatever problems have been corrected. That's what Bill Self says. He's been more vocal this week for the guys. And you gotta stress the importance. I mean, if Udoka gets in foul trouble, if somebody else, we don't have a lot of guys. You guys have to go do it. There's not four guys on the bench that are going to come in and help you out. It's just not. So you better focus, and you better buckle up, because you can bet Villanova's going to bring it. All right, Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com joins us now on the line on our pregame Final Four KU basketball special. Matt is down in San Antonio. Matt, how is the river walk? And thankfully, hopefully nobody's gotten wet yet.
No, I haven't seen anything like that, but it is alive and well today. They're definitely buzzing down here. Really fans of all four teams, as you would probably expect, but you never know with a team like Loyola. I was not sure. You know, it's not like they've been able to plan this for years, but they showed up, and I think they were probably some last-minute type of things, and those fans were like, hey, this could be once in a lifetime. We got to go do this. So good for them for making it happen, and, of course, the KU fans are here in full force. Beautiful sunny day right now. Everybody's walking around making it happen, so good stuff. It's one of the reasons that San Antonio is the best place on the planet for something like this, and everybody's taking full advantage of it.
Well, it's a relatively easy trip for three of the four schools, for Kansas fans, for Loyola Chicago fans, even for Michigan fans. It's not that great. It is, maybe Villanova is quite a haul, but I can imagine there's easy flights to get and get fans from all four schools down there.
Oh, well, there's no question, and I think that's what it comes down to. You know, easy or not, you find a way if you're a supporter of either of those teams. And yeah, I'm really excited to get to the game tonight for a bunch of reasons, but I am eager to see the split. I've seen a ton of Villanova fans, and you know, this is kind of what they do. This is what they're used to the last couple of years. So pretty cool for them to show up like that and have it feel like this is their show. And obviously we'll see if Kansas can match them, and I don't think there'll be any problem there. With the fans, anyway. The game's a whole different story, but that should be a lot of fun, too. So as if the basketball is not big enough, there's plenty of other reasons to be fired up and intrigued when you're down here. So, yeah, it's hard to believe KU's here. It's hard to believe it's here. And I've been down here since Tuesday, so the only thing I can say is it's finally Saturday.
We're talking with Matt Tate, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks for the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com. Been with the Jayhawks all season long. Matt, when you look at this KU team, we just heard Bill Self, a soundbite of his coming out of the break, where he said he's been more vocal maybe this week than he has been most of the season, really stressing to the kids, you know, if you're the two player, you're not going to go sit significant minutes while the sixth player is out there. You're going to have to work through any difficulties on the court. We know KU has this short bench. We know they don't have a lot of depth. But he seemed to really feel the need to stress it this week. There's no parachute. There's no off-ramp here. There's no safety hatch. There's nothing. You're going to have to go out and play 40 minutes of the best basketball you've ever played against one of the best teams in America for the second game in a row.
Yeah, I mean, really the sixth or seventh game in a row, if you think about it. I mean, they've been trying to lock in on that kind of focus since the Big 12 tournament started, and it worked. They're obviously here, and they've played some of their best basketball, and these guys have all been, you know, turned up a notch or two. And I think they needed that, obviously. Guys like Malik Newman and Legere Fick, you know, up and down type of regular seasons. But they turned it all the way up for this postseason, and it's paid off, and it's benefited KU in a big way, and it's made them look pretty good too. So I don't think there was any jeopardy of needing to worry about that or wondering if it'll carry over. I think these guys fully understand what's going on, what's at stake, what they're playing for, and why they're here. But I don't think it hurts to remind them, and I'm sure that's all Bill Self was doing. Just, hey, look, this has been working, fellas. Let's keep it rolling. Let's stick with this same mentality that it's on you, and everything we need is based on what you do and how you perform. And if they're able to carry that over, then, you know, I think they've got a great chance. Not just tonight, but both nights down here. But, of course, they're facing the toughest opponent they've seen all year, and that'll probably have a little something to do with it, too. So it's incredible to me that after that KU Duke game, which was as good as I've seen in person in a long, long time, maybe as good as there's been in sports in a long, long time, it's incredible to think that the very next game could be just as good, maybe even a little better, because of the stakes and because of the stage. So that's drink it in. Regardless of what happens, KU fans should enjoy the heck out of all of this, and I think they are.
All right, we're talking with Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com, covering the Kansas Jayhawks as they get set to take on Villanova at the Final Four. Full coverage all day long here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. In terms of depth, Matt, I was looking at the Villanova numbers, and I was a little bit surprised by two things. One, they have six players who average over 27 minutes a game, which I thought, and I know they've had a couple of injury situations this year. I get that. But six players average over 27 minutes. Two more average, 12 and 15 minutes a game. And Jalen Brunson, maybe this surprised me the most, he averages 32 minutes a game. He doesn't play 40 minutes. Now, I bet he goes 40 minutes tonight, But they don't have guys that average more than 32 minutes. They shuffle guys in and out quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just their philosophy and their system, and Jay Wright believes in his whole group and gets them prepared to play a certain way. And, you know, they don't really do it with superstars. I realize that Brunson's player of the year and going to win a lot of those awards, and deservedly so. But, you know, it's not like he's one of those five-star guys that everybody's been talking about since he got to college and all the hype and all the glitz and glamour and all that stuff, you know. So he kind of embodies what they're all about, and I think they look for a certain type of kid. I think they look for a certain mentality and approach, and because of that, they do have a great deal of confidence in shuffling guys in and out and not being afraid of what it's like. I mean, you've seen it. We've seen it all year, right? I mean, if Devontae Graham couldn't play 40 minutes or 38 minutes or whatever it is, KU was in trouble, and nobody really knew what they were going to do or how that was going to look. But Villanova doesn't quite have that, and I think that's by design. I think that's what Jay Wright has tried to create there and obviously been very, very successful doing. So I don't know. You know, I don't know if he'll play 32 or more than 32 minutes tonight. I'm with you. It wouldn't surprise me if he's got to be out there the whole time and matching Graham step for step and minute for minute and all that. But at the same time, Jay Wright's not the kind of guy who panics. He's not the kind of guy that goes nuts and tries to go off script or do anything crazy. They're going to do what they did to get them here and what's been successful for them for the last 5 years. And so he may very well sit 8 minutes tonight. And if he does, then I think KU absolutely has to take advantage of that. They have to make him pay when he's out there or when he's not out there. And I'm sure that's been talked about a ton this week. But yeah, the safe bet's probably preparing for him to play as much as he needs to, because, you know, this is huge, huge stakes and huge stage and all that. So there's no doubt in my mind that everybody would love to play 40 minutes. I mean, that's been the talk all year, right, Graham?
Right.
Is he tired? No way. That guy will play 45 minutes if it goes to overtime. He'll play 50 if it goes to double overtime. He'll play 100 if it goes to, I don't know, I can't do that math that quickly, but you get the point.
Right.
And I think probably Brunson is cut from that same cloth. Without being the kind of superstar, without being the kind of guy that says, coach put me in, I got to be out there. I think he trusts his teammates as much as anybody, and you know, that's been a huge, huge part of their success.
All right, it seems like we've been talking for a few weeks now about if Devontae Graham has the off game, can Kansas find a way to win? And this probably goes back to that period where the winning a 14th consecutive conference championship was in doubt. And that's kind of, I think, maybe where the talk started. Devontae has an off night, we may not get that 14th straight. If Devontae has an off night at the Big 12 tournament, we may not win. And now we're in the NCAA tournament, and we're still saying that. And Devontae has had a lot of off nights. But Malik Newman has more than stepped up. LeGerald Vick has been much better. But in a Final Four game against Villanova, can Devontae Graham once again have an off night and KU still get a win? Or if Devontae has a great night, does that make it just cruise control for Kansas because they haven't had it the last few games?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge factor, and I'll go one step farther. I don't think anyone can have an off night tonight. I think they've all got to be dialed in. I don't think LeGerald Vick can take 5 minutes off. When he's out there, he's got to be turned up on D and playing with that intensity and effort that we've seen over the last few weeks that's got them here. Same with Udoka. Obviously, he's only playing 22, 23 minutes a game, but they've got to have him be good minutes, and maybe he has to go more tonight, but they've got to be good quality, no silly foul type of minutes. Luckily for them, Silvio DeSosa has emerged and been a nice little fallback option there, and I think he'll play a lot tonight too, but yeah, I don't think any of those guys can be anything other than really, really good tonight, because Villanova doesn't beat itself. Villanova doesn't generally get rattled. They don't play anything other than a really, really fine precision execution based type of game, and that's on both ends of the floor. So if you're not willing and able to match that, you could be in trouble in a hurry, and I think KU realizes that without question. I think they understand what's in front of them and what they need to do, and you know, the one area that jumps out at me with Kansas and where I think they could have a chance to really separate themselves in this game is in transition. And, you know, that's been the story all year. They love to play fast. They love to play downhill. You just think about that Duke game and how good they were there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be like that again tonight. And They've got that. That starts with the defensive rebounding. They got to get on the board. You know, Spee, everybody's loving his 10 rebounds last game. He's got to go get 10 more tonight, and they got to get out and go, because if they play a half-court game with Villanova, I don't know that that's what they want to get into, and I don't know that that would bode well for their chances. The last two times they've played Jay Wright's team, they've lost 64-59 and 63-59. That's the Villanova style. That's the game Villanova wants. I mean, can you imagine this guy has kept Kansas, themselves Kansas teams, in the 50s the last two times he played them?
Right.
That's amazing. So I think KU has to get out and go and force the issue as much as they can. And you know, I'm not basing it purely off of scores, but I think if they can get to 70, their chances are really good. I mean, that's the type of game they want to play in. That's the type of style they want it to be. And the Vegas number over under is 155, which will tell you that they understand that Villanova's probably willing to play that game too. But if they do, I just think it favors Kansas. And that's not to say Villanova can't get up and run and go out and try to do some things there too. But if they have their pick, there's no doubt they would try to make it more of a half-court precision game, whereas KU wants to just get out and fly and freelance and do all that stuff that's made them so dangerous all year.
All right, we're talking with Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal-World and KUSports.com. He's with the Jayhawks down in San Antonio getting ready for the Final Four matchup with Villanova. Real quick yes or no question, and then we'll dig deeper into the story. Do you know if Yudoka Azubuike's mom has arrived in San Antonio yet? I know there was a lot of legwork that had to be done to get her here from Nigeria. Has she gotten to San Antonio? Do we know that?
Yeah, I was just told literally 1 minute before you guys called that she made it at about 12:30 this morning. And I don't know the full details yet, but I do know she is here, or that's what I was told anyway. I haven't seen her myself, but you know, they're not gonna tell me bad stuff, generally speaking.
Right.
So I believe that to be true, and I believe that it came at a good time, a good enough time where he was able to go to the airport and be part of that party that greeted her and all of that. Because there was, you know, she was supposed to come in earlier in the day, I believe. And so he had some obligations with media stuff and practice, of course, and things like that. So I don't know that it was a guarantee that he was going to be able to be a part of that. I think they may have been just planning to send a couple KU athletic department people and go pick her up, which, you know, no English. Never met these guys. Obviously, she recognized the KU shirt or something like that, but that would be a tough, tough deal, right?
Right.
So the fact that it worked out the way it did, if that is in fact true, if he was able to go last night and meet her, what a cool capper to that story. I mean, it would have been cool anyway if they just got her back to the hotel and then he got to see her or whatever, but imagine her walking off the plane and seeing her son and what a comforting feeling that is for both of them. It's been a really neat story and I'm anxious for him. I'm eager to see how that affects his game. I mean, it's a huge deal, but so is this game. And so does it inspire him to go out and have a 30-20 kind of night, or is it on his mind a little too much? And does he maybe struggle and all of those things? So, and who knows? Maybe it won't affect him either way. Maybe he just goes and plays his normal game, which would be fine too. But either way, I think it's on his mind a lot. But yeah. I was thrilled. I was trying to check last night, you know, as late as I could with whoever I could to find out if she had made it yet. But just a little bit ago is when I was told that she did, in fact, make it.
Well, that is terrific news. And it just, look, it's hard to play, you know, psychologist or psychiatrist when you're not qualified to do that. But I think having your mom in for the first time you've seen her in 6 years, and you're going to walk on the floor in front of 70,000 people and millions around the world are going to watch you. I think he goes out there pumped. I think it's a boost. I don't think there's any. Maybe I'll turn out to be wrong, but I think it's not a distraction. It's more of a benefit than anything. So
I'm happy for him. And that's what moms are, right?
Yes,
moms
exactly.
Are moms take care of things. When you're around your mom, you know you're okay.
Yes.
And so you know, does that factor into the Final Four and a kid out there on a basketball floor that looks like you know, a postage stamp from the upper level? Maybe not, but whatever it is, it probably does stand a better chance of helping him than hurting him. I agree with you.
All right, final question for you, Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal World, KUSports.com. A prediction on tonight's game, Kansas and Villanova. Who's going to the championship game? What is the final score?
I think KU gets it done. I don't have a bunch of scientific reasons other than the ones we've kind of talked about. I think their style, you know, they're going to have to play a certain way. They're going to have to make shots. They're going to have to get a fairly big game from Devontae Graham. But I think that kid was built for this moment. You're right, he hasn't played his best games, at least as a shooter, in this tournament at all. And I think he's due for that. I think he's ready for that. I think he understands that. And I think that's enough to kind of pull the other guys along. And you know, I don't know what he's going to score. I mean, but imagine a 9 of 13 type of night for him, you know, knocking down a few threes, knocking down some jumpers, maybe getting to the free throw line, hitting 6 of 7 or 7 of 8 or something like that. At the end of the day, if those numbers even come close to true, you're talking about a 25-point type of night. And if he's able to do that against this Villanova team, I think everybody else carries their weight and does what they need to do to get Kansas through. So I think that 70 number is important. I think KU can get there. So I've got it right around 73-69, 73-70, something like that. I mean, I think it does have a chance to be just as entertaining, just as tough, just as well played as that KU Duke game was. And what more can you ask for? That's all anybody can ask for, whether you're a fan of either team or you're covering the team or you're just a fan of college basketball. That's what you want in the Final Four. So we'll leave it at 73-70. And I think this team is just finding a way to get things done and finding a way to get through it. And I think now that they broke through and that they're here, they understand how close they are. This is always the goal. The goal is always a national championship for Kansas. But they understand now, you know, after finally getting past that Elite Eight hump, they realize, man, if we can get this one, then we've got one more game left, and that game is for everything we've ever wanted. I don't think you can underestimate that. I think Villanova was here a couple of years ago and won it. They have some experience. They understand what it's about and all of that. But I think in some ways, because of that, it's really hard for me to see Villanova matching that hunger, that desperation that KU may be able to play with. And in a game like this with two such good teams and so closely matched and all of that, it may be that drive, that heart, that desperation, that just extra gear that decides, you know, one or two possessions and maybe that's all it takes. So I think they'll get it done. I really will not be surprised at all if it goes the other way because Villanova is so talented and so good, but so was Duke. And KU found a way in that one, and I think they're loose. I think they find a way tonight.
All right, Matt Tate, Lawrence Journal World, KUSports.com. Great stuff all throughout the tournament, all season long as well. And we'll be following you on Twitter throughout the game. We have to make sure CM Tate, right? At CM Tate.
MC
Tate. At
yeah,
MC Tate.
Go.
Okay.
And it's not, I every time people bring it up, and I appreciate you doing that, every time people bring it up, though, I have to tell people my name is Matthew Christopher. So that's the M and the C.
There you go.
Not some weird MC Hammer wannabe or anything like that. So I didn't know what Twitter was when I signed up, you know, 12 years ago or whatever. So I just went with that. I'll never
confuse you for an MC or a rapper, Matt. thank you very much. Enjoy the Final Four, and we'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me on. You guys enjoy.
All right, that is Matt Tate, Lawrence Journal World at MC Tate. He is not a rapper. He's not a musician.
Yeah, I'd never had the fear that Matt Tate was trying to bring back MC Hammer.
No. We're down to, like, what, the final 90 seconds of the show? Okay, final predictions. Jed Marshall, you go first. Kansas and Villanova.
Kansas 75, Villanova 68.
Okay, and since you're a Michigan fan, give me Michigan, Loyola, Chicago.
I will go Michigan 65.
Okay.
Loyola 61.
Okay. I will go Kansas over Villanova. I'll stick with what I picked yesterday, 83-81. I think Malik Newman goes for minimum 26. Goes for 26 against Villanova. And Loyola Chicago, Michigan? Nobody's picking Michigan, so I'll take Loyola Chicago and the Kansas City Kids by 53-51. I know. I don't think they're actually going to win. I'm picking them because no one else is. So that's it. We got basketball the rest of the day, folks, here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Westwood One Final Four pregame show is coming up next at 2:30. Loyola Chicago, Michigan at 5 o'clock. Also simulcast on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. The KUIMG Sports Network pregame show at 6:15. You can catch the end of Loyola Chicago Michigan on ESPN Kansas City. And then Villanova and KU at 7:49. And the postgame show is going to probably go into Eastern Sunday. I want to thank our producer, Jed Marshall. Thanks to Matt Tate. Thanks to Ed Fritz. My name is Brad Porter. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. You've been listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.